This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam is gonna get you some in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Speakeasy, Valentine's Day edition.
Yeah, baby. Be mine.
I've always been yours.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for being here with me.
I appreciate it. Oh, Jesus. He's all queued up in there.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
We did ask for it.
So, how's your week been?
It's been kind of boring. I don't know what this is. This not really a cold, not really not a cold.
The but thing that's been going around.
I haven't really left my apartment all week other than just to go to work.
Man, like, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to catch that.
Yeah. I don't have, like, a fever. I don't have a cough. I feel tired all the time.
Oh, wait. I've already got that then.
Maybe it's old age.
I'm working on that, too.
It's getting worse as I go. Speaking of old age, I thought I'd see you last night. I went out just for 2 hours. I went over to Spring Lounge to see Evan Freeman.
It's the first for his birthday.
50th birthday.
Yeah, I know, man. I wanted to go, but I couldn't get out of work.
Oh, that's right. You were working.
That's the thing. Sing with bartending and
I know
barning and
yeah, I know.
Being in the bar. It's like sometimes you can't get away. But we do want to wish him a very happy birthday.
Love that guy.
Yeah, best. He just
self-described man with a bag full of axes and no filter. Bag full of axes to grind and no filter.
Exactly. So very happy birthday to you, Evan Freeman. I told you you're feeling under the weather this week. You should try drinking some whiskey, but...
Well, I've tried it. Yes, I keep trying it, in fact.
Have you
I've been trying it for years.
How do you think rum would fare in that
situation? I think maybe rum might be more medicinal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about rum today.
So it's a good thing we got lots of rum on the table and lots of rum information floating around the room. You want to introduce our guest?
Please do it.
Oh, me? Sure.
Yeah.
In the room from the Cane Club Collective... Yeah? Did I get it right? Austin Hartman, Shannon Mustafer, and Danielle DeLuna. Welcome, guys.
Good to be here.
Thank you so much.
Yay!
Yeah. And you've varied the table with lots of rum and a punch. Looks like we're going to drink some punch right away. And then we're just going to talk about rum in general.
Let's just get started.
Yeah,
right
okay, sure. Let's pick up those and get in there.
Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys. So, rum punch. What's in the punch?
It's Valentine's Day, man. We just gotta go.
Yeah. What's in the Valentine's Day? Yeah, you gotta commit.
So, the Valentine's Day rum punch is a classic Planter's Punch from 1937. It's got lime juice, simple syrup, grenadine, falernum, Angostura bitters, and funky Jamaican rum.
It is funky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, it does taste like medicine. Like delicious medicine.
I mean, isn't all alcohol...
Of course, yes.
Right?
I agree with that. Yeah. Whatever it is you're about to say, I agree.
What do you rub on your cuts?
Robitussin.
Alcohol.
I mean, it's alcohol.
Yeah, so this is awesome. I wasn't expecting to get started like immediately, but I'm so pumped super excited about it.
Yeah, man.
I love rum punches.
Well, this is going to wake me up. I got to go to work right after this and serve bitter drinks to the Valentine people.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to come visit you because I'm your Valentine.
I'm already looking forward to it.
So let's talk about rum punch for a second. Why don't you run us through it? Because there's obviously punches like the original cocktail, if you will.
Oh, yeah. It's got that poem and everything. Do you know the poem? One of...
Well, it's not... would you call it a poem?
I mean, it's a little iambic pentameter. It's a rhyme.
Yeah. Wow, iambic pentameter.
You like that?
That was good. Still, you really pulled that one out of somewhere.
Still early.
That's good.
But I don't remember how it goes. I remember the kind of the words. Anybody know it? I think you guys got to know it. One of
sour, two of sweet, three of strong, four of weak.
And then I love the last line, right? And bitters.
And I think that's the end of all of your sentences, though.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Good to see you. And bitters.
Yeah. I don't like anything to be, to be without bitters. But that's true. That's the thing, right? And that we've learned from Dave Wunderson and Bibe and all that stuff and the book Punch, obviously, that It comes from the word punch, which is sort of like an Arabic word that means five.
Hindu.
It's a Hindu word. There we go. That means five, and it's the five pieces to the thing, and it all makes sense in some weird-ass, you know, way that Dave made it sound smart.
For sure. And it keeps working, too.
Well, that's the great thing about rhymes. They're always true to the real world. Right? I don't know if that makes any sense. But this is delicious, and it has all those pieces. What got you guys started with this project, and what's your end goal? Let's talk about the whole thing.
With the Cane Club Collective.
Cane Club Collective. And what does it do? Well, we got to talk about it all.
I love that it's also a club and a collective at the same time.
Hey, huh? The Cane Club Collective Guild?
Yeah.
The point was we are rum nerds. We met a while back, and we kept nerding out, and then realized there's more cane enthusiasts in New York. Obviously, sort of like, let's create spaces to create a dialogue about rum. Let's dig past the initial conversations about it, and let's keep kind of just peeling away the pieces at what's happening in the bottle.
What are those initial conversations? Like, what do you mean when you say, let's get past the initial? Like, anybody jump in?
Yeah, sure. So, just a little background. Prior to meeting these guys, I opened up Gladys Caribbean in Crown Heights. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges I encountered there was how to introduce this category to a really skeptical public. This was 4 years ago.
Sure.
And at that time, there wasn't a lot of diversity in terms of product, in terms of quality. And let's face it, most of us had our first experiences with rum in high school and in college. So you can imagine what that consisted of. And my work at the bar was to introduce not only traditional Caribbean drink culture, but also to help people to realize that rum is a really wide category. It's not note.
I'd conject that it's the widest category.
Oh, for absolutely.
Sure. I see everybody's head nodding all of a sudden. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. So, you know, that experience in helping people to access better quality rums and seeing how awareness grew to that experience gave me a passion to continue that conversation. And I felt, you know, really fortunate to meet Austin and Danny, because we all have different things to bring to the table, and it just kind of evolved. It's a natural outgrowth of our friendship and shared passion for the category and for spreading the gospel, so to speak, about what rum is and what it can offer to a drinker.
Which I think is, like, first of all, it's a lot of hard work, right? Because rum is, full disclosure, everybody knows I'm writing a book right now, and in fact, randomly, I'm actually writing my sort of rum section right now.
Ooh,
and it's a pain in the ass. Like, I'm having a lot of trouble with it because the rum section of my book, in fact, is very short, because I say, to open up the section, I don't really want to touch this section because this is a whole book of its own. So suddenly, I'm facing this challenge of, I want to write a very small amount about this massive thing, but I need to say enough to make it make sense, but I only have 2,000 words to do it. And I'm finding that's an uphill battle. And also I find that rum is very, because of the nature of its sort of the broadness of the category, it's pretty fucking intimidating, right? To me, as a professional. So I have to assume that the people who attend your club collective events or come to your place, they're equally intimidated, right? So you have to really softball this stuff into them so that they'll pick it up and run with it, right?
Well, we're trying to, I mean, what we're doing with our classes this year and events is kind of going past the initial, like, here is rum, and opening the floor to more eager rum, like, cane enthusiasts. So it's kind of, If the people that are there are already excited about the category and as eager to dig in more.
Yeah, they're burgeoning enthusiasts, right?
Right. We did an agricole class last, and it wasn't what is agricole. It was, these are the different proofs of agricole that you will find in existence. So it wasn't, we don't start with, like, here's the introduction to the category. We actually just went, this is the 40% stuff that gets exported to the United States. But on the islands, everybody actually drinks 50, 55, and that's like what they drink. So we gave examples of, and we, this is, a lot of it is from our own collection, but then we also got, you know, donations from different brands.
Demoiselle and Dilong and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. But then on the island, everyone is drinking, in Martinique specifically, well, I guess all of them actually.
Is it three?
Everybody's drinking 55.
I mean, yeah, but like those things that like we get Le Fevrier, we get like JM.
Oh, right.
But like I guess Demoiselle just maybe a year and change ago like started bringing in their 110.
Yeah, but that's 55. The only one. That's only 55 or 110 that is in the States. Everyone else is only bringing in their 50s,
right?
Which actually has to do with the tax law.
Sure.
They would bring in the higher proof stuff, but there's a much higher tax for it. So.
Right.
But yeah,
it's pretty crazy that you know. In a weird way, it's like a catch 22 because like if the 55s came in, they would sell a lot more, which would offset the tax increase. And
yes,
you know, I mean like, but that's something that we understand. That's something that you talk about in yours. I'm assuming this would. I've not attended one yet, but I'd love to, obviously. But I assume that's something that you talk about touch on at least.
Yeah, sure. Just to your point regarding how it would work out sales-wise if we brought in 55, you know, I'm a big proponent of that proof. Visiting GM and trying the same expression 40, 50, and 55 was a big eye-opener for me. And going forward, I don't put anything on my back bar that's less than 50 because 55 is the optimal flavor.
Yeah,
you know, that's where you get all the flavor.
It is.
But again, with agricole, it's a lesser known category in all of rum. So it's already a difficult sell.
Do you find that to be like consumer facing or industry facing?
Both. Because,
really?
Yeah. So here's a little tidbit. I don't want to like name names, but.
name them.
Well, 3 years ago, I went to a 3-day long tiki seminar. In New Jersey. So those who are aware of what this is know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And there are presentations on all the categories and how they're applicable in tiki. And the agricole presentation.
Is it like by the ocean?
It's close to the ocean. There was a beach right there. We spent some time in the beach.
So you're doing tiki by the beach.
It was tiki by the beach, yeah. And I'm going to preface this by saying it was a wonderful experience. It was really inspiring for me. I've been resisting putting tiki in my bar prior to that, and at that juncture, I was like, wait, I'm really set up to do this, so I need to move forward. But all this being said, when it came to time to do the agricole section, there was just like this consensus among the bartenders that it was useless.
Whoa.
That it was like too intense. In fact, one of the presenters cut himself while he was prepping limes, and he took a bottle of the agricole and poured it on the cut. To be like, ugh. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it.
You lit on fire? I've done that before.
It didn't get lit on fire, but all this to say, like,
cauterize the wound.
But to that point, it was just like, even among that group of industry, and we're talking about some very reputable and experienced people that we all looked up to, there was just no awareness and no appreciation. That was 3 years ago.
That's pretty fucked up.
I think that's crazy.
It was really unfortunate, but I think we've come a long way since.
Well,
then.
Yeah, actually, I mean, like Austin, last time you were on the show was 1 year and 360 days ago. It was
exactly
February 10th, 2016.
No one's counting the days.
I got that one.
Yeah,
but no one's counting. But you just come back from a trip with the ACR.
Mm-hmm. Which is
ACR,
the authentic Caribbean rum, which is since disbanded due to funding issues from Brexit and WRSPA.
And also awareness, I'm sure. But, I mean, like, obviously, just seeing how far we come over, like, that was 3 years ago. This was 2 years ago. You were on to talk about Caribbean rum. You brought some cool stuff in. We talked about that. And, I mean, in the last 2 years, obviously, the awareness of things like, you know, Brazilian cane spirit by the body of water. Martinique rums, like agricole rums from Guadeloupe and Martinique, where has that changed for you over the past 2 years?
How has it changed?
You've started this, the Cane Club Collective, and...
It changed by finding the two most amazing people in the world that also love rum.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean... I mean, for me, we all have our journeys in the category, and it was... I had my experiences and down in the Caribbean with different styles of rum, and then found Danny and Shannon, and they had their experiences, and we kind of just all got together and was like, wow.
Yeah, and Danny, you were just in Haiti last week, right?
Right, and I was just going to say that we really solidified this whole thing in Haiti last year Bookman trip. We were standing in a cane field, and we kind of realized, like, this is, like, actually everything that we want to do. Like, this is what we really want to do, is we want to tell the people about sugarcane, how it gets to distilleries, what are the processes, how, you know, are the farmers being paid well, how does the distillery manage themselves and all of that. And then we kind of just came together and we're like, you guys, we're all having the same idea at the same time, kind of.
Collective subconscious.
Yeah, let's
basically,
keep digging.
Which is why we're a collective, so...
Collective subconscious over copious amounts of rum.
Yeah.
For sure.
Kind of focusing on, like, farmer, producer.
Yeah.
In that category.
That's the thing that's always fascinated me about rum. Like, I have a really soft spot for it because, like, visiting, like, being in the United States or being in, like, the UK, and when you go to, like, a whiskey distillery, for instance, you see these beautiful... hand-hammered copper pot stills, and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. This is what a distillery looks like. And then you go to a rum distillery, and it's like, oh, shit, where's the still? Because it just looks like a bunch of farm equipment, like a bunch of pipes and, like, some grinders, like some, like, mills, like, cracking the sugarcane. If you just happened upon a rum distillery in, like, the Caribbean, or you would think... You'd just be like, I have no idea what this is. This is a farm of some sort. I don't know what they farm here or make here.
Right. Well, we highly romanticize the process here in the United States. I think other places, they do the process. We kind of make it romantic.
Yeah.
Plus, we came later. You know, these guys were doing it long before us. So
for sure.
We sort of stepped into the game later and said, oh, look how you can make it pretty.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we were, so yeah, Austin and I were both in Haiti last week. And in Haiti, all the tiny distilleries are called Gildives. And there are hundreds of them everywhere. And it's just
there's
on,
like,
the side.
Over 500 distilleries in Haiti.
There's tons of them. So you're just on the side of the road and you're like, oh, I see the smoke and piles of sugarcane in a shack. And that's a distillery.
Do they?
And then there's another one. And then there's another one.
And do they and each everywhere. Produce their own thing, or do they get together and blend it together and make
Not
it?
Not at all. No. Everybody does their own thing. You get your sugarcane juice from somebody, or actually in Haiti, you also use sugarcane syrup because it's hard to keep juice fresh, but syrup lasts for a year. So it could be both or one or the other. And you just run your one run, and then you put it in a big jug and take it to the market, and people buy it. And that's how,
like,
most
they just roll up with a growler and you fill it up. It's like old tub.
No, there's no bottle. Glass. I was going to say,
it's
yeah.
A bleach bottle, yeah, an old vegetable oil bottle.
A Sprite bottle. Yeah.
It's like a lot of Oaxacan, like, mezcalerias, you know? It's like
exactly.
The same.
Yeah.
Or like moonshiners, you know? Like,
sure, yeah.
You get an old milk jug and you fucking...
And go to town. Hope it doesn't melt the plastic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, to that point, if I may interject a little bit, I mean, here's the thing about the rum category that sets it apart from the other ones that we typically encounter here in the U.S. It is very similar to mezcal in that it is small production. We're talking about small villages. It's not necessarily meant for bottling. It's very much for local consumption.
Yeah, and it's by the community for the community. Yeah.
Exactly. And totally. This is how rum began, and it continues to be this way. And it's very much an expression of terroir, of place, of community, much, you know, the same way that mezcal is, but it has more of a global implication.
Absolutely.
Not only for that reason, for all the places where you can make it and encounter it, but the larger background story about how the sugar industry in general is the foundation of our modern economy.
Of course, yeah.
This is where all the money came from to generate the economy that we're in right now. So the story of rum is so connected to where we are right now in terms of culture, politics, economics. It's touch all aspects of the world we live in right now. No other category can claim that.
That's So cool. Yeah, it's freaking amazing.
Yeah, it's an agricultural product, so it's the thing you want to do is use all of it, right?
Puts the culture in agriculture.
It puts the culture in agriculture.
So we're about halfway through the show. Yeah.
Great. Going deep, y'all.
I need more punch.
Yeah, I'm almost out. Oh, wait, I am out. So let's take a quick break, refill our glasses, and maybe try a little. I mean, we've got all these bottles. Thanks for bringing all these bottles in today. I mean, like, we're just so the listeners know, we're working on a little bar project the studio. We decided last week after the show, after we had Alpha Quantro in the studio.
Quan. Yes.
Quack.
Where?
that we're working on a little mini bar for the studio. So whenever people want to visit, we've just got it here, and we can... kind of whip up any drink that we want.
We can be proper hosts.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the sugarcane industry as an impact on global economy and how that's spread rum all over the world.
And love.
And love.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we're back.
Hey, all right. Sorry, we were drinking rum.
Sorry.
And we got a flower delivery from the from the team at Heritage. They brought us flowers. I have to ask, though. Are they just doing that for us, or are they bringing flowers to everybody?
I would assume it's just for us.
Oh, okay. That's the good way to go. Dave, did you get flowers too?
I actually got a flower crown yesterday.
So. Oh, wow. Were you at Coachella?
No, thankfully, no.
I was going to say Snapchat comes to life, but Coachella is better.
Yeah, well, I'm a little behind.
All right, so we got some flowers, and then we have more rums to taste.
More rums came out over the break, actually.
Yeah, indeed.
The punch was flowing, and then more rums came out. Let's talk about these rums, man.
You know, we got to have rum people on more often.
I know, right?
I remember we did a lot of drinking when the Tiki Mafia Argo was here.
That's true.
The rum folks bring it hard.
We do. It's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're always all carrying samples and bottles.
Freaking
and
pirates,
like,
man.
Because you're so excited, right?
Yeah. So excited. When we... Ooh.
Hey. That's a first.
Yeah, I think we brought 40 bottles back from Martinique, so we're...
What?
Nice. It was an operation.
We
had extra euros paid for weight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys are going to be pissed at me. I came back from Florence, Italy last month, and I had... a bunch of like rums and gins and some grappe and stuff like that in my bag. And going through custom or going through duty free, I got two bottles of Havana Club just to restock.
Yes, yeah.
And a carton of Lucky's for the staff.
Yeah,
and a carton.
And I was
of Lucky's.
So tired after the flight. I'm not trying to sound like a baby, but it was like, you know, 0 degrees, the wind's blasting, and looking for my car to show up. And I left my duty-free bag on the sidewalk.
No.
So whoever got that bag...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
two bottles of Havana
Club. Two bottles of
Havana Club. And a carton of Lucky's.
Carton of Lucky's.
What a great find.
My heart sank at that. I'm feeling for you so hard.
I don't know. I'm trying to look at the other side
There's
of the
more.
Coin here and figure out who found that. What a great day for them.
Exactly.
Or they just threw it away to the world. Care. You know? Or they're just like, what is this, rum?
Oh, maybe they incinerated it at TSA. I don't
know. They washed the with it.
If you see a suspicious package.
Drink it.
Man.
If you see something.
Drink something.
Drink something. All right, so let's talk about this. What do we have in the glass right now?
Yeah, what'd you already pour?
So right now we have the Duncan Taylor 2000 Long Pond Distillery from Jamaica.
Did you bring this last time you were on the show?
No, last time I was on the show, I brought Foursquare.
Right. From, yeah.
How do you
from
remember
Barbados.
We remember everything.
The rum. Roll the decks of rum.
The sugar stimulates the mind grapes.
All right, so let's talk.
Mind grapes. Let's move on.
All right. Yeah. So talk to us about this stuff. It smells amazing, even through my sort of, yeah, exactly, through my sort of stuffy-ish nose.
Oh, yeah, you can't really smell right now. So Duncan Taylor is a merchant bottler. It's kind of a lot of these going around these in the market at the moment.
From Scotland. They're from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Describe what a merchant, I don't know what a merchant bottler
sound
is.
Scottish at all.
Yeah, a merchant bottler is not Caribbean native company that will go to distilleries and purchase barrels or just batches and
or pallets
and just bring them either off island or bottle there, but it's under their brand. But it's and they tell you where it's from coming from. There's transparency involved. Most
but they didn't make it
like Signatory Scotch,
right?
Sure,
or like Semmerle.
Velier,
the Velier stuff.
So they're not the makers. They're just going.
Kind of a negociant situation.
Yeah. Sure, they're grabbing it up and getting it.
We like
getting it to market.
Yeah. It's transparency.
We like it. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's transparent.
Sure. Which,
the interesting thing about this, and one of the reasons we brought it today, is because this kind of thing has actually been driving the rum market in the States now. Like, part of the reason that we are where we are with beginning to get more high-end expressions is because there have been these European bottlers who have taken stuff from the Caribbean and then brought it in as like a, you know, really rare, really long aging kind of a thing.
If it's okay, I'd like to add a little bit to that. There's a historical precedent for this approach to bringing rum to the market. When the British Navy adopted a rum ration.
Tots.
The tot, so to speak. That kickstarted an industry in London and Europe of bulk suppliers.
Sure.
So this is where this comes from. So there are merchants who are taking rum from the Caribbean to London to dry, or rather to age on the dry docks. And this also took place in Amsterdam to a degree. Yeah. And that's where the connoisseur ship market, you know, people searching for better examples of rum, was cultivated. So just for a little background, consider that the rum that was consumed on the islands was not aged.
Right.
You know, it's overproof. So we're talking about grand nephew style rum, okay, that people are just drinking neat or like mixing with lime.
Tea punch,
you know, in that context, it was considered like this is what we have to drink. Meanwhile, as people became like a little more experienced with aging and blending, they were able to craft rums that could compete with cognac. And people sought out Jamaica rums. You know, as a sipper, it was considered a luxury product.
Yeah, especially after in the 1870s when you had the phylloxera breakout and there was no more cognac.
Rum
kind of started like hitting the foreground because it wasn't really in a lot of cocktails before.
I mean, look at the Jerry Thomas guy.
Yeah.
Look at the Knickerbocker. That was like all the rage in 1870s New York. That was totally. Jamaica rum, raspberry syrup, and, you know, lime. Super simple. But again, like, this has been going on for some time, and now we're starting to see it as a resurgence, which I love, because we're going back to the roots of how rum was initially consumed as a premium spirit and appreciated by people that, you know, love good spirits across all the categories.
I definitely, at my bar, I've got a lot of rum for, at least I think I do, but it takes up it's the very middle section of my bar, and I've got so many because they all do so many different things. And also going back to the beginning of the show, Shannon, I realized when I opened Grand Army, it was like maybe the second day we were open, and I looked at the back bar and I was like, holy shit, I don't have anything on the back bar that's like regular proof. Everything was overproof. It was like Navy strength or higher. It was like Smith & Cross, Ray & Nephew, the Lost Spirits, like the three Lost Spirits rums. It was like all the, like, but it was, It was awesome.
But those are so good. And then you started working. Too.
You built your bar for yourself.
Exactly.
And then you share it with other people. I think that's how we all do it.
Yeah. But really, like, higher proof spirits fare much better in cocktails than 40%.
Yeah,
I mean, totally. You lose it, you know, unless it's like a unfortunately flavored something or other. Yeah. But, like, a lot of the rums that we like so much, we do like to put them in cocktails.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I'll put anything in a daiquiri, literally. Even my really expensive, super rare, I will still make a daiquiri with
sure.
it. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's like, going back to absolutely that. I mean, every time, I mean, we all work in bars, you know, and like anytime someone comes by with a rum that you haven't tried before, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah.
You make a daiquiri.
Yeah.
Slam a daiquiri.
Yeah, right.
If it doesn't fare well in the daiquiri, then
we'll talk. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Yeah. You're like,
maybe
how's this going to hold up in a daiquiri? But that going back to that, also, it's like when I first wrote the menu for Grand Army, I was like, I was thinking about it in my rum section as more of a category for drinking neat than drinking in cocktails, which is what you were just talking about, you know? And I think that's it's really translated well over the past few years where, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with your education in the category for everyone out there, you know? And just the education in general of the category. It's, you know, people are drinking rum now like they would, like, as DJ Stevo.
I mean, I do. Dinner. I have for years. I've made no secret of the fact that I'm a big fan of cognac and Armagnac, and rum is an easy leap.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I find myself after work
right there.
Often. I like to, you know, sip on something after work while I'm doing the paperwork, and oftentimes I reach for an aged rum.
Where someone might.
And I have so many at my disposal. You know, upstairs is Cienfuegos, and
sure.
Jane's got quite the collection up there. But I don't feel like I've made the dive into the educational aspect, which is what you guys are doing and out there promoting, which is great. I'll be coming to your, we're going to talk about it. Relax.
This looks like scotch, actually. This rum, that, I mean, like.
Well, and this one smells like scotch because it's Duncan Taylor, too. So it's, you know, it's, wow. This one is a lot about their barrels.
A little butterscotch and toffee and.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Yeah, and
sorry for the listeners, you can't see this, but it's a very, it's like, it's one of the palest, like. I'm air quoting gold rums.
I mean, I'll
put a photo on my Instagram stories
for the listeners. If any of you guys know about the Samaroli rums, Duncan Taylor is similar. So this has been aged for 13 years in ex Scotch barrels. So it's not new. These are not new barrels. Gotcha. It's not imparting a lot of color. It's former Scotch barrels that have already been used. So you're not going to get, you're going to get a lot of flavor, and you almost, you know, you get the Scotch kind of notes and some, maybe even a little smoke and some woodiness and just some kind of funk that's Jamaican, but then also a kind of brininess that is very Scotland. So, but that's specifically because, you know, Duncan Taylor is about their barrel. So it's like you're a spirit from somewhere in the world, but then what they do with their barrels that makes the big difference in this case. Which is not true for, I mean, like now, so I was saying earlier about like this kind of category brought us into the more, now we get more premium stuff in the States. So now we have like the Foursquare rums that have just started coming in to our market. Those are aged in the Caribbean. So, and it's not ex-Scotch. It's probably more likely ex-bourbon and then finished in some kind of a fortified wine cask. But that's all done in Barbados, not in a European country in a different cold climate.
Yeah.
It's in a warm, hot climate in the island that it was originally produced, keeping it more like to the Caribbean.
See, this is the reason why we need to be talking about rum, because there's so many variables. And like, again, it doesn't have to come from one place. It's like, there's, it's kind of, I've always said about rum, man, it's fucking outlaw.
Yeah.
It really
it's
is.
The Wild West.
Like, yeah.
And that's part of it though, is navigating that language, because as the category develops, there's going to be a lot of new terms and language like input to the category that could also be confusing as you're trying to understand it. So part of it is trying to hone in on not a central language, but just a general understanding of how to talk about it.
What I found really helpful initially at Gladys Caribbean was to break it down into three cultural styles. Mm-hmm. And they all have their differences according to when they came about historically and their connection to you know, colonization and just to, you know, get right to the point. Think of it as like wine. Think of rum as like wine. And different geographic locations and cultural influences will shape the end product. So in rum, three major styles are linked back to colonialism. English style, Spanish, and French. So think back, you know, to those contexts and how that might influence the palate and what people are after in terms of the final product and the taste and how you're going to consume it. English style rums, we're talking about Barbados, Guyana, and Jamaica as kind of like primary examples of how that industry was set up and disseminated. Those rums tend to be on a bolder, bigger,
richer
side, smokier, depending on how they're aged, generally meant for mixing. French style, the agricole, made from fresh cane juice, inspired by an aesthetic that is informed by cognac, looking for the same kind of end result, a reflection of terroir, you know, in Martinique, there's an AOC.
Sure.
There's no other, you know, rum category that has, like, so many rules around it. So, you know, there's a lot of investment in those end products showing the terroir and the expertise and the preservation of culture. Meanwhile, you know, in the Spanish category, you're thinking about, like, wine and sherry culture, aperitif culture. You know, it's either kind of like the common man's rum, which is like aguardiente, really light and crisp and meant for mixing. And then there's a higher end sipper. So that's a basic way to look at the category overall if you're trying to parse out where you want to go. But there's a lot of shades in between.
A lot. This is incredible, by the way, this juice. I had that bottle in my hand. I posted it on my Instagram stories if you want to look at that at Creative Drunk. But the bottle is, as you said before, super transparent. Mm-hmm. Lists on the bottle, distilled in Jamaica at Long Pond Distillery, distilled at
54.8?
It says distilled at 6 points, bottled at 2.14, cask number, style is a pot still, one of 247 bottles. Like, they really are breaking it down for you and exactly what's going on in this bottle. That's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why we like Hamilton a lot, too, because Ed Hamilton has a lot of transparency with his range of rums, too.
It's
like,
mostly he breaks, coming from Hampton Estates, right?
I mean, he's got all sorts of stuff. I mean, the Navy is a blend of Guyana from Diamond Distillery and Worthy Park. And then he's got other St. Lucian rums. But he has, like, you know, he has the casks number and the very specific, like, it was distilled on this day, it went into a cask. You can look it up on the Ministry of Rum website. And so we, the people that are really into all of this, love all of the transparency that's happening now. And it's difficult to talk about some categories of rum because of, again, not to bag on the Latin American and Spanish style, but there is a, you know, there's a lot of questions about the actual age of everything because it's a Solera.
Sure.
So you don't know what that means.
Right.
You don't know what the actual age of the rum is, and that just kind of is, you know, par for the course for that group of,
you know,
of styles.
What's interesting to me is that there's this kind of strange thing with, like, American whiskey and rum where they're kind of switching places as far as, like, I hate to say this, but there's, like, kind of a bullshit meter, like, you know, like, where,
yeah,
where,
for sure,
you know, there used to be it was just like your old school, like, bourbon brands, just for example, and then all of a sudden, like, a lot of, like, the newer brands that were essentially maybe not even a real thing made it, like, a bigger distillery. They started, like, making up stories, like, historical accounts, or even small brands that were startups, like, some historical figure, and they made some story up to sell the product, and, like, the juice wasn't even that good or whatever. It's like, I feel like, I don't know, I guess that's starting to calm down a little bit in the American whiskey world. But,
well, after several lawsuits, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sometimes you need a good lawsuit to get people, like, on their toes.
I feel like there's some, I guess there's maybe a little bit of that happening right now in the rum world. There always has been, like, a bunch of bullshit. I mean, like, and I'm just going to call them out, like Captain Morgan's and fucking Malibu and shit like that. It's like, that's not rum, listeners. That shit is not rum.
It's a liqueur.
It's a liqueur. Yeah. Like, but even like, I feel like even big companies like Bacardi, like they're starting to like call their own bullshit. And I mean, they're
right. They did some. Churn. They did some more. Single...
I mean, lucky for all of us, transparency is on trend.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the more transparent people are.
Thank you for saying everything I was trying to say in like one sentence.
that's what I mean.
And that's part of it. Too with
one-liner Souther.
With rum in particular, there is just like across the globe, there's such a particular rum nerd that there are so many people, you know, Cocktail Wonk, Josh Miller from Kenna, just doing at-home tests of sugar content in rums and posting it.
And all the people in Scandinavia.
And all the people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this global community of people kind of just pulling away tears.
Exactly. Well, I said transparency is on trend, but also it's being forced to be on trend because you're right. There are the home consumers who have skill and ability.
And time.
Who, and time. Yeah. Skill, ability, and time.
Time is one thing we don't have.
Yeah. to sit around and enjoy their hobby and for better or for worse, expose. Right? They're not, I don't think they're out there to be aha journalist type people. But they're like, you're right. Cocktail Wonk is taking a rum and figuring out the sugar content and posting that. Yeah. So then there's no point in the company not being transparent if there are people out there that are going, I'm pulling back the curtain. You may as well shine some light on it.
It's easy to like check out Brix levels and have a hydrometer and everything at home. I mean, it's like not.
It's not, science is more available to the common man these days than maybe it was.
Hydrometers are $6 on Amazon.
Exactly. than even it was 20 years ago. And then, of course, the ease of spread of information is so much more than it was even 10 years ago, So.
Meanwhile, consider the overall beverage market is changing. Millennials have been drinking artisanal beers. Better wine.
Yeah, they started with that. Yeah,
I'm saying so.
Yeah,
the like palate is changing.
We grew up into it, and they're just where they're starting.
Yeah. People want better quality. Premiumization is happening across all the categories, and rum is, embracing that as well. So people are realizing that they need to get with it, or they're going to get left.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is really pressing in the rum category because the addition of sugar and color to kind of like obscure age and like these numbers on bottles, like people are calling them out.
Even out of labor too.
Isn't happening. Yeah, that as well.
It's a full package that everyone wants to see the whole thing.
Yeah, everyone wants it to be more fair trade, more driven by fairness to everyone involved, all the way back to the farmer, all the way up to the producers, right?
Yeah, rum is history, rum is culture, rum is real. You know,
man, that's a great one-liner. Rum is history, rum is culture. Culture, rum is real.
That's the real.
All right, who's getting that tattooed on?
Let's go.
Let's go.
It's definitely awesome.
I don't have a Valentine's date except for Souther. Sorry.
That's your Valentine's tattoo. But,
bummer.
So listen, you guys are obviously
this is like one of my favorite shows because
we have so much rum.
We're having so much fun.
Time flies when
when you're having rum. Yes.
How many times are we going to jinx on this show today?
I don't know. That's two or three.
We're going to have to go back. Dave, you got to do a tally for us.
That's another tattoo as well.
I'll get one of the
Let's go to Allied and just
I'm
bless these out.
I'm not spending money on a date.
don't tattoo parlors do like a free thing on Valentine's? No, that's Halloween, right? Or no, it's the 13th. It's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Anyway.
I don't have enough tattoos to know.
Yeah, well.
I've only got the one.
You've got a lot of one-liners, though.
Bazing.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of one-liners, we're pretty close to the end of the show. In fact, we may be kind of past it. But I want to make sure that we understand how it is you guys are sharing your passion and knowledge about this stuff through your Cane Club Collective. How does this work? Talk to us about it.
So we actually have a class on Tuesday.
The 20th.
The 20th. So there's a class this Tuesday at Sisters. We're going to talk about Jamaican rum, which is why we brought the Planter's Punch and the Long Pond. And we're going to talk about all sorts of, different styles within the island because Jamaica is super varied. So that's happening on Tuesday. The best way to get in touch with us at the moment is Instagram. Our handle for Instagram and Facebook is Cane Club Co. And also that's our email. So caneclubco@gmail.com. We will have more official website things soon, but for now, just hit us up on social media and come to our class because it's going to be delicious.
Sorry, where is the class again?
It's at Sisters, which is in Brooklyn, in Prospect Heights, Clinton Hill area.
And what's a, is there a fee to come to the class?
Not yet.
Not yet.
As in, we're still doing this.
Get in on it while it's free.
Yeah. Check it while it's free.
Yeah, and the point is, too, to like we're trying to do this at least once a month with a kind of varied category. As we talked about earlier, we did Agricole last time, the power of proof, and did that. Jamaica is its own thing.
Massive thing.
I'm going to break in and call this class Funk Lessons.
All right.
Oh, yes.
So if you're ready to boogie, come on down for some Funk Lessons.
Yes. Funk Lessons at Sisters. Get your funk on at Sisters with the Cane Club Collective. what time's the class?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. On Tuesday. 2 Tuesday. It's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Followed by a happy hour. Yeah. If you miss the class, come on by. We're going to serve some traditional Jamaican rum drinks, including the rum punch that we're including.
Which is delicious,
right now,
by the way.
Awesome. So you're a fool if you missed that. Tuesday the 20th at Sisters in Brooklyn with the Cane Club Collective. We're going to talk about funky rums of Jamaica.
Indeed,
your funk on.
Yeah.
All right, and you can be reached at through Instagram and Facebook at Cane Club Co.
Yes.
Correct.
Cool. So everybody reach out to these guys and get involved. Get involved. That's how Colin last night at that party. Upcoming shows are, well, Colin. I booked him finally. Colin from Bacardi will be on. More Bacardi the company than Bacardi the rum. Maggie Hoffman's coming up. We got the team from Jupiter Disco. We got the guys from
Rob Dietrich from Shanahan's.
Rob Dietrich is coming up. We got the guys from that little bar called Attaboy going to show up sometime
soon.
I hope
they make it.
Yeah, that's a scrappy little bar. I hope they're plucky. I hope they pull it off. Anyway, that's upcoming shows. We're going to start in earnest building a bar in this place next week. We've already got a couple of bottles to put on the bar, some delicious rum. You got one of them that you brought us here that's signed by Martin Cate. One of your tiki gods, I guess.
Yeah.
Is he like one of the rum Pied Pipers?
He's a cool dude.
He's super rad. He was here in town last week for that...
The Villiers release?
Yeah. Pretty rad. I got to hang out with him some. He came over to do the tour of Amore Margo, Mother Pearl, and Cienfuegos on the Super Bowl, which was great because I had nothing to do, so I just dragged him. I just dragged him and Cocktail Wonk around and with the guys from Shift Drink Podcast. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, that's what I've got to wrap up the show.
That's great. This has been such a pleasure having you in the show, back on the show, a couple of you. Have all of you been on the show?
I've yet to be on Speakeasy, but I've been on Hot Grease.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I thought you'd been on before.
It was a minute ago, yeah.
Well,
all right.
Well, welcome back for the first time.
Glad to have you back for the first time.
Cool, man. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy. I almost said Halloween. Valentine's Day. They're the same.
They're very similar.
They're the same. They're both scary.
Yeah, pretty intense.
So let's raise the glass. Thanks so much for coming on the show today. And that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Until next week, check out Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. And click on the beating heart to donate to the station and keep us on the air. And if you want, bring us a bottle and we'll add it to our little mini bar that might be a larger bar one day. And we'll have a drink with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have a rum bar now.
We do. It's totally a rum bar.
Exclusively a rum bar.
You know, we could keep it that way. All right. Until next week. Happy Halloween.
Cheers. Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Heritage_Radio.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.